My text is 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. For those of y'all that were not here last week, the dating, marriage, and relationship series that we were going to undertake on Sunday morning, we decided to undertake it on a Wednesday evening. It went really well this past Wednesday evening. Brother Coy is going to continue it this next Wednesday while I'm out of town over at Basic Litigation. But for Sunday, for the next few Sundays, what I'd like to talk about is kind of even drop back a little bit further and not talk about relationships as much as talk about the emotion underneath them, and that's love. And it was actually kind of a moment because a couple of weeks ago, I went over to Mom's house to fix a gutter, and when I was in there, we went upstairs, and there sat in the corner an old teddy bear. And I remember this teddy bear as I was growing up. And Mom, the kids were looking at it because it's missing an eye. It's faded. It's got some threads loose and maybe a little bit of stuffing that's just coming out of it. And I made the comment, there's that teddy bear. I used to like to wrestle that teddy bear. You know, it's been through some rough times. That was Mom said that was the first teddy bear that the dead had given her almost 60 years ago. And when you look at that teddy bear today, it doesn't look that good. It's faded with age. It's missing an eye. Some threads are loose. And some rags are coming out and stuff. But that teddy bear is it's priceless. Because there is a love that creates value in the thing that is loved. And our text is 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. And it says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us. And He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." There are two truths in the Bible that I'd like to talk about today. The first truth is, that we are all rag dolls. We're all beat up teddy bears. We're all flawed and wounded and broken and bruised. And we've been like that ever since the fall. Now, at the fall, something happened to us, but also something is happening. Something happened in us at the fall, but now also we kind of got to take responsibility for some things that happened to us. We are greedy when we need to be generous. We deceive when truth needs to be spoken. We betray when loads of loyalty has been given, and we grumble when encouragement should be offered. We are all broken teddy bears. But the second truth is that we're God's teddy bears. And there is a love that creates value. He knows all about us, and yet He loves us still. Our raggedness is not our identity, and our raggedness is not our destiny. We may be unlovely, but we are not unloved. And as a matter of fact, we were not created ragged. The Bible says that of all God's creation, that uniquely when He created mankind, He looked at it and He said, "This is very good." We were not created ragged. Something horrible happened at the fall. As a matter of fact, Scripture also tells us that we rival the angelic beings in wonder. And so, something happened to us, and we are now ragged. But the other truth is, we are God's rag dolls. Now, in this earth, we are most used to a love that's called a love that looks for someone of worth, someone of beauty, that celebrates their strength in the beloved. And the Greeks called this word eros. And we're most familiar with it because it's the root word of the word erotic. But you would be sadly mistaken if you thought that that kind of love was only to deal with sexual love. It's not, and it wasn't used that way primarily in the ancient world either. It encompasses it, but it's not the primary use of that word. The primary use of the word eros is that kind of love. It's a love that seeks beauty in something. It seeks worth in something. When we look on someone, we look at something, and when it pleases us, when it brings us a measure of excitement, when it brings us a measure of fulfillment, that is something that we decide to love. And as a matter of fact, research says, and research shows, that that beauty brings love. Research has demonstrated that parents will play with attractive children more than they will play with unattractive children. That people actually coo over attractive babies more than they coo over unattractive babies. Beauty tends to attract a certain amount of love and admiration. But that kind of love and admiration is this love that's called Eros love. Children's stories actually kind of reinforce this idea constantly. Prince Charming. Cinderella. Which one was it? It was Cinderella who was admired and proposed to because of her intelligence. I got that right, right? No? Well, surely it was Snow White. Oh, yeah, that's right. She attracted her man while she was comatose. Sleeping Beauty. Sleeping Beauty got her man with her fit words. No, she had a knockout pill going on. And Rapunzel never had a bad hair day in 20 years. I mean, think about the stories that we're reinforcing to our young women because it's Eros love. The love that comes about by beauty, by strength, by what you do, by the things you say. It's a very shallow kind of love, but it is a love. And I don't want to beat up on it too bad because there's a certain amount, I mean, we are supposed to celebrate beauty. We're supposed to celebrate goodness. Those things are supposed to be attractive to us. But Eros is far too precarious to build the life upon. Rag dolls, stuffed teddy bears, beat up people, bruised souls need something much deeper and much stronger than Eros kind of love. And there is a love that creates value in the thing that's loved, that turns rag dolls into priceless treasures. Now, Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare die. But God commanded his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." The essence of God's love is he died for us when we were ragged. Spiritually dead is what the Bible says. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6 puts it like this. He says, "But we are all as unclean thing, and all our righteousness is as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." And you know the logical thing for the Lord? It would have been just kind of to chunk it and just start on over. Let's go ahead and erase the blackboard and let's go ahead and start on over. And I'm not going to create that serpent thing. But he didn't do it. He loves us too much. We are his rag dolls. I don't have to look beyond my children in order to be able to understand that kind of love. Each of my children at various times have had a blankie. Olivia was the first of my children to have a blankie. And I remember that she took her blankie everywhere, and it was a frayed blankie, and it was a faded blankie, and it was getting to be more of a handkerchief than a blankie because it was just so shrunken. And one time we left it in a hotel, and we must have been 40 miles away when we realized the blankie was not there, and we turned around and went back and got the blankie. Because we were not going to have peace. And with Olivia, it was a package deal. Love me, love my blankie. You know, Jesus says the same thing. When he's talking about love, he says, ultimately, our response to the love of God is, love God, love his people. Love God, love his rag dolls. Love God, love his bruised souls. And that takes us to a story over in Luke chapter 7. I'd like to spend a little bit of time on Luke chapter 7, because we see some of the essence of God's love in action. In Luke chapter 7, we're going to meet a young lady of the evening. The Bible says simply that she is a sinner, but that's a code word. She was actually a prostitute. And it says, one of the Pharisees, Luke chapter 7, verse 36, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down at meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's table, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet, began weep behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. And when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this is a man, and if he were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this was that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Jesus says, love God, love people. The two most important commandments given to us are love God, love people. And we have an ultimate sinner here. And you know, here's the thing about this woman. She was the daughter of somebody. Somebody was her daddy. And I'm pretty sure that that daddy had dreams for his little girl when he held her. This woman's name could have been Olivia or Julia or Caitlin or Emily or Bethany or Hannah. For the sake of discussion, let's say that this woman's name was Hannah. She comes, and she comes unto the Lord, and I don't know what it was. Maybe it was the life of a dream and dreams that have not been fulfilled. Maybe it was the disappointment that she had caused to her parents. Maybe she was thinking about the hurts that she had endured that brought her to this point. But at some point, she just looks into the eyes of Jesus, and instead of seeing condemnation, she sees love. And it's a love that God loves his rag dolls with. And he's looking on her and he loves her. And this is the thing about love. Love actually has a transformative effect on people. As a matter of fact, physiologically, when you're in love, research shows that your eyes dilate more. The circles under these eyes actually get to be less noticeable. Your lips turn redder. Love actually has a physiological effect on us. Love has a transformative effect. The love of God so much more. And she looks at the eyes of Jesus, and then all of a sudden, tears just start to flow out of her. She's sad. She's repentant. And that's another thing about love. Love sometimes hurts. It causes pain. It causes us to be able to tell a 3-year-old child, don't run into the street. And when they do it again, love tells us and compels us to punish the child. You know, if Jesus had given everybody everything that they had wanted, he would have lived to a ripe old age, quite frankly. But love gives. And this woman right here, she had had this experience in life that had gone, and she hadn't gone with the way that she had really needed to. And then she sees Jesus, and Jesus looks at her, and this is what he says to her. Your sins are forgiven. Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Amazing story here. Amazing story. Because Simon the Pharisee, the man who was all up in the law and was supposed to know everything there was to know about God, he was kind of the religious intelligentsia, he was a theological master. When this rag doll comes into the house, Simon looks at him and says, Simon looks and says within himself, you know, if this man, this quote prophet, knew what he was doing, he wouldn't even let her touch him because she's going to contaminate him. She's a sinner. And when I think about this story, sometimes I wonder about myself, what would my response have been? I mean, there's a lot within inside of me that looks at people, and when they're not living the life that I think is appropriate, I get a little bit judgmental sometimes. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. We're supposed to be discerning and discriminating. But the underlying motions for being discerning and discriminating is to love people, not to hate them. There is a church called Westboro Baptist, and they do the most hateful things at military funerals. And they do it in the name of God. I'm ashamed of them. I'm ashamed of them. There are people that will picket outside of abortion clinics and scream in the name of Jesus. I'm ashamed of them. That is not God's plan. That is not how we deal with sinners. It's not how we deal with ourselves. Well, this woman, and make no mistake about it, abortion is wrong and we need to do everything we can to stop it, but screaming someone and calling them a killer is not the godly way to do that. Everything should be undergirded with love. And so Jesus looks at this young lady of the evening and he says, "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." The life and the action that motivated her to come to Jesus in the first place, that spiritual life, that breath that the Holy Spirit had put inside of her, that caused her to understand Jesus, to be drawn to Jesus, because here in his love that God first loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That love that brought her to him and it's reciprocated in her, and now she starts to go and he says, "Now you can go in peace." She hadn't said anything. All she had done is start crying and washing, and then she took the ointment, a very expensive ointment, and maybe she was thinking when she anointed his feet, because typically when you have ointment, you anoint their head, but she anointed his feet. Maybe she was thinking about how she had earned the money to be able to get that ointment, and then she does something else. She lets down her hair so that she can dry his feet. Now, respectable women in that time period never let down their hair. Only harlots let down their hair. It was a way of advertising their trade. But she was going to let down her hair one more time. And it was going to be for the last time. And with that, she dried his feet. And Jesus continued to look on her and to love her. Now, we said a little bit earlier that love causes pain sometimes. This woman was chock full of tears. Love causes pain. As a matter of fact, the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 15, the word of the Lord says, "Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." The Lord's desire for his family is that we be blameless and that we be harmless as the sons of God. As a matter of fact, over in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, this is talking about the Lord. Ephesians 5, verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wife as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish." We are to love like Jesus loves the church. And notice that Jesus doesn't say that the blemishes and the spots don't matter. They do matter. But love seeks for the best of other people. And sometimes it hurts. Hebrews chapter 12 says, "The Lord scourges those that he loves." I once heard a pastor, studying up on this marriage stuff, I heard this pastor say, "You should love your wife with an in spite of love, not a because of love." Can you imagine how that proposal goes? "Honey, you know, I'm getting down on bended knee, and I just want to let you know that in my nobility, I am condescending to asking you to take my hand in marriage. And I'm going to love you in spite of all those freckles. And I'm going to love you in spite of that crooked little toe that you have. And I'm..." Can you imagine that? And sometimes we kind of get that kind of thinking into our mixed theology, that God loves us with an in spite of love instead of a because of love. No. You know, the death of Jesus on the cross is a really, really bad thing. But the flip side of that is that your Lord thinks that you're worth dying for. It's a because of kind of love. And so Jesus' point, and he's saying he's doing these things so that we can be presented without spot or without blemish, because blemishes and spots matter. And you know, the other thing about love is it delights It delights in the person, enjoys the one who is loved. God does not simply love you in spite of it. Your raggedness is not your identity, and it's not your destiny, and it's not the whole story about you. Hosea chapter 11. Hosea chapter 11, verse 4 and 1 through 4 talks about how, as a people, God has loved us and we've left Him. And He's loved us and we've left Him. And He's loved us and we've left Him. And He just keeps pursuing us. We are ragged people. But love delights in the person that is loved. As a matter of fact, the psalmist David says that God sees him as the apple of His eye. And that term in the Hebrew, the apple of the eye, it actually has references that when you get really, really close to somebody and you're looking inside their eyes, you can actually see a reflection of yourself. God sees you fully. God knows you fully. He knows every sin. He knows every thought. He knows every failure. He knows every thread that's out of whack. He knows every eyeball that's fallen off. He knows every fade. He knows every wrinkle. He knows all about you, and He loves you. And that is a kind of love that creates value in the thing that is seen. He calls you His peculiar people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. He has sanctified you, cleansed you, and set you apart for a holy purpose. And He's calling you, every one of you, to respond in faith to His Son, who has been the propitiation for your sins. And His message is go in peace. Because once you realize what happened at the cross, that God forgave you, not in spite of, but because of Jesus, once you get that, it will bring a peace to your life, and you will not have to do that Eros kind of love to where you are constantly trying to perform. You know, there's so much mixture in the concept of love, too. You have an Eros love. You have that kind of love that creates value, which the Greeks call the unconditional love or agape love. But we have such a mixture, and I want to tell you, and those of y'all that are married know what I'm talking about. The Eros love is fun. The Eros love is exciting. The love that is generated by trying to win a prize, trying to win admiration and things like that. You know what I'm talking about. When you're married, the cards, the flowers, and the candies flow as easily as the Nile River. Foot massages, no problem. And then you hit your second anniversary, and then your third anniversary. And that kind of stuff doesn't last. That kind of stuff is a shallow, shallow love to build your life upon. And that's why the Lord calls us to love each other with a love that mirrors His love, which is an agape love, which is an unconditional love, which is a love that measures and reflects what Christ has done for us. It's a love that delights in the other person with all their raggedness. Ann Lewis is a Christian writer, and she writes a story about a young boy. He is 8 years old. It's a true story. And his younger sister had leukemia. And they came to, and they said, you know, we got to get a blood transfusion here. And usually family members are the best ones to test. And sure enough, the young boy had the exact same blood type as his young sister. And they say to him, they say, we need to get a pint of blood from you. Would that be okay? And he kind of gets a real serious look on his face, and he says, let me think about it overnight. And the next morning he wakes up and he says, it's okay. I'm ready. So they take him in, they put him on the little thing, and they start taking the blood. And they're just about to pull out the needle, and the doctor swings by and he says to the young man, he says, how you doing? And the little 8-year-old kid looks up at him with all those big eyes and he says, when am I going to start to die? That kind of love treasures the thing that is loved in his little sister. I was thinking about this week, and I don't know why, but Brother Gary's been on my mind. He was a rag doll. ragged in ways that perhaps a lot of us didn't see. And the last time I spent with him, his fingers were just completely, the tips of his fingers had gone completely black because of the constant checking of his blood sugar. And I've related to y'all the conversation that we had, how this church had loved on him so much that he loved y'all back and he wanted to be a part of you. And right before I left the hospital, I said, let me hold your hand. Let's have a closing word of prayer. And he put his hands with mine. And I looked down and I saw that wrinkled hand with his black fingertips. And I thought, they've never been so beautiful. Love treasures the thing that is loved. All of its raggedness, all of its brokenness, all of its bruises, and the love that God has shown on us is a love that has created value within inside of us. We are unlovely, but we are not unloved. And so God calls us individually and as a church to love each other, to forgive each other, to appreciate each other. Because the difference between the prostitute and Simon is that Simon's ability to receive that love was severely diminished. And the prostitute's ability, who saw all of her sin, who saw all of her raggedness, who saw all of her brokenness, well, that faucet was wide open. She could receive all the love that she could because she had a good self-appreciation of how desperate she was. But Simon, who did not think that he needed forgiveness, had closed himself off to the love of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we all are as filthy rags. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. We are all like sheep who have gone astray. We are all sheep who have gone astray. There is none righteous, no, not one. We desperately need God. We are not special worms. We are not special. We are lowly worms, like chaff in the wind. We are like a valley of dry bones. The Bible has picture after picture after picture after picture of our desperate condition. And apart from the love of God, we had no hope. Herein is love of God, that He first loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. That was an act of God in accordance with a plan that was set forth from the foundation of the world for you. How do you respond? How do you respond? Do you respond like the prostitute says, I need that, I want to get that, I'm going to respond, I'm going to go to Jesus, and then you'll hear, go in peace. Or you can be like Simon going, I don't need that quite so much. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And when you experience that, when you have that kind of relationship with Jesus Christ, it has a transformative effect, and now you can live a life that you go in peace. And it's not going to be perfect, and love is not always pleasurable, because sometimes love is painful. Sometimes if you let a 3-year-old kid get whatever he wants, there's a good chance he's not going to make it to 4 years old. And that's why love scourges and love is painful sometimes, but it's all born in the fact that God loves us, He sees us, He knows us, and all our threads and all our raggedness and all our bruises and all our hurts. He knows about all the bruises and hurts and raggednesses that we have inflicted upon other people, and He loves us still. That's the love of God that we celebrated this church.